The Dana Cortez Show podcast begins now.
There are three lessons that every rich person teaches their kids. And I was thinking today for Girl Talk, Automatic Anthony A, that, you know, this is a great conversation for all of us to have with our children. But it doesn't matter if you don't have children or not. You could begin practicing these lessons today. It's never too late to invest in yourself, in your future, and in your wants and needs. You see what I'm saying?
What is rich to you, Dana?
For me, and I said this the other day on a Facebook Live. You know, we do a Facebook Live a few days a week. Go catch us, Dana Cortez Show. Like the page, please. When I felt rich is when I went to the grocery store and for the first time, I didn't have to worry about what I was buying. Now, I know that might not be rich for some people, but for me, having struggled since I was born, you know, having been born into poverty, being able to go to the grocery store and saying, you know what, I want that steak today, and being able to buy it, I feel rich.
Because I know there was many, many, many years where I was at the grocery store and I was like adding up every single thing I put in the cart.
And I'm like, do I have enough to cover this? Do I have enough to cover that?
Yeah. Oh, man. So these three tips, are they from real rich people or your type of rich?
They're from real rich people. Actually, they're from wealthy people.
Okay.
And there's a difference between wealth and rich. Yeah. So we'll share the three lessons rich people teach their kids when we come back.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
We're about to drop the three lessons that rich people teach their kids so we can teach our children. And honestly, so we can practice them ourselves. But I'm going to tell you right now, after going through this, it's going to be hard. Because none of us are. Well, I think we practice some of it, but being disciplined enough, I don't know. It's
but are we only talking financially rich, right?
No, we're not. Anthony, I'm so glad you asked that question.
For me, I look at some people who have all the finances in the world and all the money they could dream of, and then they're hollow in other places. Like, growing up, I had a good friend who tragically lost his father and then his stepfather, but like had every video game system, every toy.
In your mind, they were rich.
They were financially
monetarily.
He was set, but he was empty in other places, right? And then it led to like a different thing. It's getting more darker than I anticipated. But my thing is that you could be financially rich and poor in other aspects.
So let me tell you, let's start then with this particular tip. Here on a Dana Cortez Show, I want you to turn your radio, because it's not the money that makes you happy. It's the freedom that wealth offers you to choose your own path. And purpose is the ultimate success.
I don't know.
Period.
There's a couple things I could buy that would make me really, really happy.
Of course they would. But at the end of the day, without purpose, rich, poor, middle class, wherever you see yourself in life, if you have no purpose, you're not happy. Every person needs purpose in their life.
Like Anthony's friend, he had everything he wanted, but he had no purpose because he didn't have to work
purpose.
For anything.
Yeah, you got to have purpose in your life. Number two, choose prosperity over entertainment.
Ooh, so, that's a big one.
It's very difficult. Let me tell you this, and I see this a lot in my community. You get your check, got to go to the concert, got to go spend it, got to run, without thinking about long term, about the future. When you live check to check, there is no time to build wealth. There's no time to invest in the future of your children. It's very important to be able to say, hey, you know what? This week we can't. Maybe next week we can. But because we're saving for sure, next year, it'll be even better.
The other thing is you don't have to have the best car. You don't have to have every brand new pair of Jordans that come out. You don't have to be at every single club opening buying all the bottles.
Oh, I know.
Saving that money. Every guy that I've known that has been wealthy, and there's a big difference between wealth and rich. This is the analogy I always use. Athletes are rich, but
they're
the people
rich,
who
rich.
Own the teams are wealthy. The wealthy people that I've known, like I knew a man that was worth hundreds of millions of dollars, and he drove a 1999 Saab because he didn't care about cars. My grandpa was actually a pretty wealthy guy. He drove a Chrysler hatchback.
Dang.
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
And then he had a Honda Civic after that.
Okay, so if you spend your life seeking a good time, you'll always struggle your entire life financially. Wealthy people invest in ideas to solve problems. Okay, and the number one thing that rich people teach their children is to read more, watch less. Ooh. Why is that? Because when you watch other people, let's say you're watching your screen, you're watching YouTube, you're watching TV, whatever it is, you are allowing them to tell you what to think. You're not forming your own opinion. Pick one factual article a day at the minimum just to start, and pick one book a month. that's going to enlighten you.
It's going to do a lot more for you than scrolling through Instagram.
Oh, I know. That's right. But Instagram's fun. I'm not saying you have to quit that, but you have to add these things into your life if you really want to teach your kids so that, you know, we all want our children to have a better life than we do.
You got
to
make sure that you're not scrolling through a timeline and missing your life just because you're watching somebody else's pass by.
Amen.
You did.
Amen.
And 99.9% of the time, it's all a front. The amount of people faking it on Instagram is alarming.
Let me run these down again real quick. These are the three lessons rich people teach their kids. Number three, it's not the money that makes you happy. It's the freedom that wealth offers you. Purpose is the ultimate success. Number two, choose prosperity over entertainment. I know you really want to go to that show or whatever. Ladies, you want that expensive designer bag. Don't buy it.
Save.
Wealthy people invest in ideas to solve problems. And finally, read more to develop your own opinions. Watch others tell you what to think less. Get yourself a factual article. Pick one a day and pick one book a month.
Read things objectively. Read it, process it, make sure it's true, and then develop your own thoughts.
And don't be afraid to reuse your towels once a week.
I'm listing all three of these lessons up at Dana Cortez Instagram. It's in my story. We'll be right back.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
Oh my gosh, today's WTF. According to the San Antonio Express News, the Louis Tussauds Wax Works Museum had to move their doppelganger of former President Donald Trump because visitors keep punching it in the face and scratching it in the eyes. It's the WTF here on the Dana Cortez Show. I'm Dana Cortez.
DJ Automatic here.
I go by Anthony A.
Why am I laughing? Clay Stewart is the regional manager for Ripley Entertainment, and he says assaults on the Trump figure spiked as the 2020 election drew closer.
I love you
all. So the museum moved him to the front lobby because they were like, oh, the ticket attendants can keep an eye on him. Didn't stop it. People kept punching him over and over and over again in the face. So the museum management just gave up and they threw him in the basement.
Oh, I thought they were going to build a wall around him.
No!
They're going to pay for the wall.
No, but they say, hey, it's not just Trump. I guess during Obama's tenure as well, people were pulling his ears off. So.
It wasn't easy.
Right now, though, Trump's wax replica is being repaired. It will be put out again later. And President Joe Biden's figure is being constructed as the company moves toward getting his little figurine out. It's being constructed in Orlando, Florida right now. Will people be punching Joe Biden in the face?
I don't punch him in his sleep.
I mean, they're probably going to trip him.
And what, he's going to fall up the stairs again? That's today's WTF story. We'll be back with more of the Dana Cortez Show right after this.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
Ooh, look at this roommate situation on today's Dear Dana. It's a whole different spin to Automatic Anthony A. She writes me on Instagram. My roommate used to love to have parties at our apartment. But now that she has a boyfriend, she doesn't want anybody over at our place. It happens, right? It happens.
People become whack, dog, once they get into relationships.
Happens every day.
Same thing happened to me and my old roommate, Austin. Now he has two kids and a fiance. Boring as hell, dog. He's so boring, he goes to the gym on a Saturday morning. About that type of
That's my
crummy.
Life at the dog park on Sunday. All right, okay. So I'll read the message in its entirety when we come back. Dear Dana's next.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
You know it's going to be crazy when it's a roommate situation. Dear Dana here on the Dana Cortez Show. This woman sent me a message on Instagram. She says, my roommate used to love to have parties at our apartment. Now she got a boyfriend. She doesn't want anybody over at our place, but I pay rent too. Should I break the lease and leave her and her man to pay the bill? Because I should have a say in my own home. Okay, Automatic Anthony, what you got? What you got for this woman before I give my advice?
Well, it sucks that your friend became a lame-o and got in a relationship.
Why do you keep saying that, Anthony?
Well, because when has a person who's had a roommate, when you have another homie, Automatic, and he's like, you're single, I'm single, it's going to be a fun time. We signed up for that time. Now you go and get a girlfriend.
Tell him.
Now all the fun stops. Now that's what happened to my homegirl here. She wants to be a little scumette, and she can't even do it because the boyfriend over here is being a lame. That's
Let me
why.
Tell you, my own brother did this to me.
Oh, so, Automatic?
My brother and I moved in. I would be DJing, you know, obviously late nights, come in late, and I would bring some ladies back to the crib after. Mm. And my brother did not appreciate it one bit. No, he would be like, okay, because I would let people sleep over. I don't want people drinking and driving. And, you know, I'm not going to lie. I was trying to shoot my shot to, like, try to make things happen.
And your brother wasn't getting down with any of the freak leaks?
He had to get up early to go to work. And so he was always like, I got to get up in the morning. You're partying all night. He ends up moving out.
Gross, him and his priorities.
I know. We were like 22, 23.
That's the only piece of advice I'd give to the homegirl here. If you are going to move out or go on your own, just make sure you're handling your priorities while you're enjoying your life. There's nothing wrong with the way you're living.
Well, I said to her, you know, I wrote her back and I said, look, no, you can't break the lease, girl. You signed a contract. But what you can do, ride this one out and then live alone next time. I had roommates. Never, ever will I do that again.
Or you can go be like my brother and move back in with mommy and daddy.
Oh, damn! Don't do that either. Don't you do that either. And maybe your apartment won't be as fancy, because when I did move out on my own, I didn't live in the nicest place. But you know what I had? I had peace of mind. I could come and go as I please. I could do what I wanted because it's my spot.
And you know what I did? I went and moved in with my sister, and she was okay with my lifestyle.
All right, so there you go. Don't be answering to anyone. Get your own place. If you ever have a Dear Dana you want us to discuss on the radio, please send us that message. Dana Cortez Show, Facebook, TikTok, at Dana Cortez on Instagram. Back with more coming up next.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
Today's One Confession starts with my confession here on the Dana Cortez Show. First, let me explain what we do here. You get one call, 1 minute, no judgment. Tap in, phone lines are open. And my confession is, husband, darling, DJ Automatic, I love you, but I'm so tired of taking the grease stains out of your shirt.
Oh!
Because you don't know how to eat.
Oh!
And I think I'm going to invent something called a man bib.
Why?
Oh! For other women
really
who have to go
out,
through what
you?
I... Yes, it's called a
Why
man bib.
Why are you
bib.
Attacking me, woman?
That was sick,
because
dude.
The sweatshirt you're wearing right now, it took me 2 hours to get the damn grease stain out of the bottom.
Dude.
How did it take you 2 hours to get a grease stain out?
How did it take you 2 seconds to get the grease stain in?
Because I eat like a child.
Well,
I'm sorry.
Then the man bib is a good idea. $9.99, ladies.
It,
two
Dana.
For one. Two for one.
Dana
right.
did.
Hey, you would be proud. Yesterday I wore an all-white sweatshirt. Didn't get one thing on it.
Yay!
I mean, I was like, okay,
baby
go.
Steps, baby
I pat
steps.
Myself on the back.
Okay, let's get serious though, because we got this confession and I need help on this one. This one is really big.
Okay, so the woman I'm seeing is pregnant.
I get that. Might not always be, you know, something that you plan in a relationship, but I mean, a baby can be a good thing. So don't be afraid.
No, the problem is
so big that the man called the radio station because he needs help. And when I play this confession out in its entirety, you're going to understand why. Mm. The rest of his confession is next.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
If you just turned the Dana Cortez Show on, it's one confession. That's when you get one call, 1 minute, no judgment. And when this man called in, I knew I was going to need help. Because it's a big confession.
Okay, so the woman I'm seeing is pregnant.
Well, I mean, well, I get that. Might not always be, you know, something that you plan in a relationship. But, I mean, a baby can be a good thing. So don't be afraid.
No, the problem is my wife probably isn't going to like this.
Oh, so wait.
Okay, yeah. I can guarantee you that your wife isn't going to like it. She might not even, you know, stay with you.
No, I'm trying to convince my girlfriend to not have the baby.
Well, you know what? I'm going to say something. Ultimately, that's on her. That's going to be her decision. But either way, you have another woman pregnant and you're married. So whether she chooses to have the baby or not, that's a reality.
I know. I don't know what to do. I want to tell my wife, but I don't. I don't know how.
You know what? You got to be a man. You chose to see this other woman and you were obviously not practicing safe sex. So you risked her life, you risked the life of your wife, and now this lady is pregnant.
Dog, man, for real, dog. Like, I'm usually on a guy's side on like, a lot of situations, but this one here, man, it's not fair to your wife, and she didn't ask for this.
I'm going to say save her and don't tell her unless you ask.
You have to. No, you got to tell her because you're going to allow her the choice of staying or leaving. It's not fair.
I mean, he made a mistake.
Hold on. Whether this woman has a baby or not.
But if he tells her, he's just going to hurt her.
You can't leave the wife in the dark. It's ridiculous. I mean, do you love her or not?
I love my wife, and I think I'm going to tell her. But do you think she'll forgive me?
I don't know. I can't tell you that. I don't know if I could forgive Automatic or not. I can't answer that question. But I think you should tell her.
All right. Wish me luck then, I guess.
Well, good luck, man. For real. I usually try not to get so emotionally, you know, worked up. But that's a lot. That's a lot. And yeah. He's got to tell her. And here's something that there's so many things that bother me about this. He called the woman his girlfriend. Number one.
She is his girlfriend. No, he's got a wife and a girlfriend.
That's not his girlfriend.
Or his mistress, then.
Whatever. And then he also said, I love my wife. If you love your wife, how can you have sexy time with another woman? I don't understand that at all. It makes no sense to me.
Well, that was a mistake. I mean, the part that doesn't make sense to me is how can you not do it protected?
Everything. You risk taking something home to the woman you supposedly love. How can men do that and claim they love the woman they're committed to?
Because men think about sex a lot differently than women do. This was something where he felt like, I mean, obviously there's something going wrong with their marriage. If he's got another girlfriend, they're not happy. But
maybe she's happy, automatic.
Well, he's not. If he's out there looking for another woman, he's not. There's something that's going on in their marriage, probably sexually, that he doesn't like or he doesn't feel. What's the word?
Satisfied.
Satisfied. You're right. Mm.
So let me go cheat on my wife.
I didn't say it was okay. Yeah, I didn't say it was okay. I didn't say what he's doing is right, but it does happen. It happens every single day. It's happening now.
What upset me about the whole thing? Yeah, you're right. Automatic. It's happened for a long time. We've heard about this. You've heard this for generations. Don't act like this is a new thing. But the fact that you, as my husband,
I'm not trying to justify his action.
You suggested to him to not reveal this very real situation to the woman he's committed to. You suggested to him not to tell his wife that he has another woman pregnant. Whether she has the baby or not, she deserves to know.
Well, I already don't like this guy because now he's getting me in trouble.
Yeah. All right. He did that, Don. That was gnarly, Don.
No.
Wait, what do you mean
let me clarify what I meant by that. Okay.
What I meant.
Going into lawyer automatic mode here. Okay. This guy has already made a messy situation. He doesn't need to make his wife's life even more messy by saying, hey, look, I got this woman pregnant, and if she's not gonna have the baby, then I don't think he needs to let her know. That's just adding drama on top of an already drama-filled relationship.
No, it's offering her a choice to stay with a man who's unfaithful.
Damn, automatic, never go into lawyer mode again, dog. This
is not. I just got shut down.
I knew as men was going
you
downhill.
You lost your case for every man in America and worldwide.
I don't even have a response to that.
This is a confession I want your opinion on, ladies and men. Go to @DanaCortez on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Dana Cortez Show. Comment. Should he tell the wife yes or no? And we'll be back with more coming up right after this.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
Automatic Anthony A, do you remember last year we talked about the wine that was sent to space so that NASA could figure out what it does to wine?
I do remember that.
It's back.
Oh.
The wine is back on Earth. WTF story here on the Dana Cortez Show. So what does wine aged in space taste like? A dozen bottles of French wine. Ooh la la. Ooh. They spent a year on International Space Station and they're just back. And they say the stuff tastes and smells totally different now. Researchers analyze the vino and they say it tastes like rose petals and smells more like a campfire than red wine.
Campfire?
Campfire!
Give me another glass, why not?
Weightlessness didn't ruin the wine, but it may have aged it more rapidly. Well, I don't want to go up there then. Botox is going to be way more expensive in space. Gosh.
I'm still stuck on Anthony's why not joke. You should turn that into a t-shirt that every middle-aged woman will wear.
My t-shirt I'm going to be is a Cabernet. No, Cabernet.
Hey! I wonder what we could send to space that ages finely, like fine wine.
Oh, first thing we can send, everybody knows this, cheese gets better with age.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
The moldier, the tastier.
Yes, another one is whiskey gets better with age.
I didn't know that.
Yes, so you get yourself a fine whiskey.
All right, automatic.
All right, we all know this. As you get older, your self-confidence definitely gets better with age.
We need to send you to space, automatic, right now.
I'm you young still.
Next flight.
At least mentally. here's another one. I just thought of this one. Pickles get better with age.
Oh,
the longer you leave them in the vinegar, the better they get.
Send a pickle to space.
Beef gets better with age.
A whole herd. Put it on a shuttle now. A whole herd.
And the last one, Dan, I had to look this one up, but women's orgasms get better with age.
Next flight, how much is it? Let's go! That's today's WTF story. We'll be back with more of the Dana Cortez Show coming up next.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
One of the most followed influencers online is in deep trouble. His name is David Dobrik. His average follower is between the ages of 9 and 16. And some of the things that he's been accused of doing makes me wonder, are parents really monitoring what kind of online content their children are consuming. It's the Dana Cortez Show. I'm Dana Cortez.
DJ Automatic.
I go by Anthony A.
And Automatic, we have a child together, Ava Matic, and she loves David Dobrik.
Okay, well, but you said one word that you said accused of doing. Oh, no, there's proof. Everything he did, everything they're accusing him of, he did. They have video proof of it because he posted it online.
Well, no, it lives there. It lives there. But I don't know the legalities of what's going on in these allegations. So I'm just going to say that he posted some very controversial, possibly illegal content. And we, you and I, allowed our daughter to follow this man because 90% of the content looks squeaky clean, right?
Right.
The bigger story here is that there's a lot of that online.
Outside of like music artists and actors and athletes, influencers like David Dobrik and other people who have YouTube channels and things like that are becoming bigger celebrities than even people that I grew up with.
No, you're
You know
right.
what I'm saying? And there's nobody to monitor these people that your kids are watching.
Okay, so this is what we're going to do. We come back, we'll discuss what you can do to protect your children from online predators and influencers whose content isn't safe for kids. That's next.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
Could your children actually be friends with a sexual predator online? The answer is yes. Could your children be following an influencer whose content is not safe for them to watch? The answer is yes. It's the Dana Cortez Show, and that's what we're talking about today, because one of the most followed influencers on social media, his name is David Dobrik, and we're very aware that our daughter follows him, DJ Automatic. We watch the content with her. 90% of his content, sunshine and rainbows. The other 10%, not safe for children at all.
Let's give a little history. So I've been watching David Dobrik since he was together with Liza. They used to create content together. Me and my daughter would watch it all the time. It was squeaky clean. It was
cool
fun.
Cool
YouTube dad. And then they broke up. David broke away. He's been doing other stuff. I watched a lot of his content. He does a lot of really positive, good stuff. But he has a crew of people, his vlog crew of people, that are some of them are questionable. There's one guy in particular. His name is Dirty Dom. I had asked my daughter about him. I was like, what is this guy, Dirty Dom? What's he all about? And she was like, oh, no, he's funny. Don't worry about him.
She kind of described him as the Dwight of the show. So we're like, all right, Dwight's a little scandalous, but not nothing crazy. No, this was over the top. I don't think it's the influencer's fault. People are going to get really mad at me for saying that, right?
Because that's what I was going to say. Because like these dudes, I mean, if I remember them starting up and the whole little like vlog crew that they have, there was just a couple of homies who just started filming each other doing vlogs on YouTube, and it took off from there. I don't feel as if like we should fault these guys for the content they're making.
We should fault us as parents for allowing our child to watch things like that and not completely monitoring her. It's my responsibility as a parent. It's not David Dobrik or any influencer's responsibility to raise my child.
No, it's not. But at the same time, you know, he does have responsibility because his followers are 9 to 16 years old.
And that's his core audience.
Not
his fault that parents allow their kids to follow
the advertisers
whoever.
Felt like it was his fault because they pulled a lot of advertising from him.
But
like,
I get it.
But this happens with other celebrities too. Like, look at people say that all the time about Cardi B. Like that, like she's not
like
the
Cardi
one
B is supposed to be the mother of your children. Yes. Cardi B doesn't make kid music.
Yes.
So why is it her fault? You listen to Kaya, My Neck, My Back. You listen. I mean, I'm saying.
You watch BET Uncut.
You're me so horny, and all of a sudden, Cardi B is the end all of society. American society is going downhill. And let's go all the way back to rock and roll music if you really want to get into it.
Right?
You're getting off the topic, though, here. We're talking about kids and what they watch and how we can monitor them and how we as parents should be responsible for what they're viewing.
So one of the things that I wanted to say is that, in my opinion, it's okay to monitor everything your children are doing online because it's our responsibility to keep them safe. You can use apps like NetNanny, is PC, Ooh. Android, iOS, and Kindle. You can use QStudio, which we do.
I've been using for years. Yep. I will say this. My daughter does not have it on her phone anymore. I felt like she was a little bit old for me to watch every single thing
she
does.
So I just watch everything from the back end. My iPhone is connected to hers, and I don't tell her.
She doesn't know that, though.
There's another app called Mama Bear, another one called Our Pact, and also Kaspersky Safe Kids. I am posting all of these apps at Dana Cortez on my Instagram story. Parents, do not feel guilty about protecting your children. It's a different world.
Yes. One thing you need to do as a parent, you have to use the apps they're using. You have to figure out how they're using them, what they're doing with them.
What is TikTok? What is Instagram?
Snapchat is where all the scandalous stuff goes down.
Oh, it's definitely Snapchat. People think, oh, nobody's using Snapchat. That's how they talk. That's how kids talk, message, and actually have old school phone calls on Snapchat. It's
because
not the regular way.
You can't monitor them through the phone.
That's right. But can I say something else? It's not just about monitoring them. You have to have an open, honest discussion with your child. For you to think that they don't know about sex, they're not watching violent content. For you to think that they're just these innocent little babies is wrong, because if they're spending a lot of time on a phone, they're being exposed to things that we could have never even imagined as kids.
Facts. I think it's very important to express that communication so you're teaching your kids, not the internet, right? Or these influencers.
Talk to your children about what they're watching. Why don't you sit down and spend 30 minutes like we do and watch that YouTube content?
Mm.
And then you can watch a Disney movie right after and have a good time. But never, ever think that your children are stupid and they don't deserve an actual conversation from you as parents. Once again, these apps, they're in my story at Dana Cortez on Instagram. You're free to tap in on the phone lines if you want to continue this discussion. Let's talk about it.
I just want to say I'm back to Team Liza, okay?
YouTube dad.
Back with more coming up next.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
Oh, today we're talking about a 12-year-old whose parents have joint custody. They're not together anymore, and they don't get along. Oof. It's time for
The Parents Court!
All right, so here inside the Dana Cortez Show on Friday, we have the Parents Court. You know, we have children that listen to us, and they are welcome to always message me, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, whatever. And that's exactly what this young man did. His name is Eric. And his parents, again, they have joint custody and they absolutely just don't get along, which is already putting a lot of stress on his boy. And now they're fighting about him having a phone.
Oh. How old is this kid?
Okay, so he's 12.
Okay. All right.
Dad bought him a phone.
Uh-huh.
Mom said, no, you can't have that phone. You're too young. Meanwhile, who's stuck in the middle? Eric. Mm. He's stuck in the middle. So who's right? And he's reaching out because he's like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. He goes to dad, and dad's like, your mom. He goes to mom. Mom's like, your dad. And he's hurting.
I mean, nobody really has a house phone anymore. I think the phone is needed for the kid.
Well, that's what you say, but mom says no, and you're not dad.
I definitely know Eric's siding with dad on this one.
Well, of course he wants a phone, but at the same time, he doesn't want to hurt his mom.
Oh.
So who's right? Is mom right? Is dad right? When we come back, I'll deliver my verdict. It's
The Parents Court!
And we want you to tap in on this one because I wonder if you've been through it and you can offer Eric and his parents some advice. That's coming up next.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
Today we're talking about Eric. He's a 12-year-old little boy whose parents are divorced. They have joint custody and they do not get along at all. Hmm. They're fighting over giving him a phone. It's
The Parents Court!
Here's what happened. He sent me this message on Snapchat because he says that his dad bought him a phone.
Mm.
And mom says no, he's too young. But his dad wants to be able to talk to Eric whenever he wants to without having to call mom. You know, because Eric's getting older. He's 12. He's going on 13. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Mm. So, but mom's like, you're too little. You don't need a phone. And so now Eric is stuck in the middle of these two arguing over this situation.
I can't even imagine what it'd be like to be 12 years old and be stuck in this. I get stuck in between my parents. I'm a grown man.
What?
And like, I can't even tell my, like, yesterday, for example, I talked to my dad earlier in the day and then I talked to my
mom. And you were happy because you talked to your dad. You were like, oh, we had such a great combo.
But then I talked to my mom later in the day and I couldn't tell either one of them that I had talked to either one of them because they're not getting along right now. They got divorced. My dad's got a new girlfriend and it's just a lot for our family right now.
So you understand, can you even imagine being 12?
No, I can't. That's what I'm saying. That, like, at first I was like, oh, this isn't that big a deal. The kid's 12. He's old enough to have a phone. Just let him have a phone. But there's a lot more going into this than just the phone.
It's about his emotions. Because if he says, I want the phone, mom, then mom feels like he's betraying her. And if he tells dad, I don't want to hurt mom, oh, you love your mom more than me.
Oh,
you see what I'm saying? This kid is stuck in the middle.
And if you go with mom on what she feels, then you just don't get an iPhone.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
That's just not fun.
Nobody wants that.
And you know what Eric asked me, which really hurt my heart? He said, well, who's right? Is my mom right or is my dad right? And when he asked me that question, I thought, neither one of them. They're wrong. Your parents are so wrong to put you in the middle of their hatred for one another.
I don't know if you have the answer to this, but did the dad just get him the phone out of spite just to piss off the mom?
So here's what I think, and this is my verdict, honestly. I believe dad does definitely want to communicate with the child. I think he wants to be able to call and text and whatever, whenever he wants. But I think he knew he was going to push mom's buttons. Yes, he knew he was going to push her buttons.
He won twice.
But here's something else. I think mom wants control. And so she's like, nah, my son's not going to have the phone. So who's right? Nobody. When you hurt your child like that, you're both wrong. let him have the phone, Mom, and then you can monitor the phone. We gave apps yesterday on what to do, and you can put parental, all kinds of parental guidelines on the phone. You can shut it off. You can have him turn it in, but you can't put your child in the middle of the problems that you and your significant other had. You both decided to have this child together. You need to raise him together and stop hurting him.
What's the little homie's name again?
Eric.
Eric. You know, Eric. All right, man. I feel, because I was raised in like a split home situation, right? Where like things like this would sometimes happen between my parents. And dude, like, it's not a personal thing between you and your parents. It's between them two.
Yeah.
But don't block your blessings. Take all the spiteful gifts you can get.
Yes, sir.
Trust me, dude. You're going to double down at Christmas, birthdays, challenge them to each other. Do it, dude. Do it.
And next time, mom or dad, contact the other parent. Email, mediator, text, whatever you got to do. Don't make big decisions about your child's life without consulting the other parent. All right, if you ever have a parents court, please hit us up. Send me those messages, kids. We're open, and obviously you remain anonymous. That's going to do it for today's
The Parents Court.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
Every day, I receive heartfelt messages from women and men all over America begging me to help them because they've been ghosted.
Ooh.
That's the worst. It's SOS Sicka, single, the Dana Cortez Show, Automatic Anthony. You've seen me in here reading these messages and responding to people. And then I try to give them some advice, and then they write me a novel.
Okay.
A novel. Well, like, okay. Oh, I'm so hurt.
And for those homies who may not be familiar with the dating scene now, ghosting is when you leave a person and don't even respond to a text message. You just fall face off the earth, kind of like our fathers did, Dana. Kind of like our fathers did. You just completely disappear.
You guys were ghosted at birth.
So maybe this can help us too. So how do you handle a relationship that you felt was going really well in your head that all of a sudden just ended cold? They ghosted you. Is it best to just let it go, or should you shoot that one last text message and give it a final try? We'll tell you when we come back.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
I would rather be told I don't like you, I don't want to date you, than somebody going ghost. It doesn't make sense to me. SOS Sicka Single here on the Dana Cortez Show. Automatic Anthony A. Don't you think you deserve an upfront conversation, eye to eye?
Not
like,
necessarily.
You know what? I don't like
no.
you.
Not necessarily. Mm. Not necessarily. Because sometimes when you ghost a person, it's not really personal. It's just like, I just don't have a reason to talk to you anymore.
You could say I don't have a reason to
but
talk
like,
to you anymore.
But here's the thing, though. This is like a nuance in the dating world, because before social media, before everybody had a phone on them, you never had to worry. You just literally left. And like now, these new girls are so sensitive, you got to write a paragraph and a thesis about why you're not compatible anymore.
New girls? I got Theo on my timeline right now asking me why Jennifer ghosted him.
Hombre. Not so bad.
So should you call? If somebody ghosted, should you continue a couple of text messages to put your feelings out there just to say, hey, what's happening? You go out on a couple of dates, everything seems fine, and they go ghost. I want an explanation.
I found this website that actually tells you what to text the person if you're being ghosted or phased out.
Okay, Automatic, why don't you read those to us right
Last website I found out when I got ghosted ended with hub.
Go ahead, Automatic.
Okay, so here's one of them. Hey, I haven't heard from you in a while. I'm getting the vibe that you're not interested in this anymore. Please just be upfront with me. I'd rather know where I stand.
Is that desperate?
That's desperate as hell.
I was going to say, if I got that text message, I'd literally look at it and be like, that doesn't deserve an answer.
Exactly. That's where you stand.
Okay, so that's not a good one. What's the next piece of advice? What else should we text our ghoster?
Okay. Hey, is everything okay? I haven't heard from you in a while, and I thought we had a really good connection.
Everything was fine until you said, I thought we had a really good connection.
If you don't feel the same, just say, everyone is allowed to change their mind.
I liked, hey, I haven't heard from you in a while. Are you okay?
These
Stop.
Are all, these are all desperate, dog. All is, desperate. Go ahead. On the next one.
Okay, next one.
Okay, go ahead.
I don't want to assume anything here, but I haven't heard from you in ages. Are you okay? Do be upfront if you've lost interest.
You know what's funny? Ages. It could be like 12 hours. And she's like, it's been ages. And the final text message to send to your ghostie.
Hey, I haven't heard from you in a long while, so I'm going to assume this isn't going any further. I wish you were just honest with me about your feelings, as it's really rude to leave someone hanging like this.
Survey says no on all.
What? I like that one.
I mean, if you're going to send out one last text message, you might as well just say, hey, f*** you.
All right, we're listening. your needs on social media. Danny Cortez Show, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram. Back with more right after this.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
Today's WTF story, listen to this. Male shrinkage is caused by pollution.
What?
Dirty air is making your smaller.
How?
Men normally don't care about pollution. I see you throwing your six packs out of the truck. I see you sucking on those straws, not caring about the sea turtles. Oh, you're going to care now because your ding-along is getting smaller. Oh. Because of bad air. Stop using the straws now. Dr. Shauna Swan, a professor of environmental medicine at NYC's Mount Sinai Hospital, she says that based on research, male penises are getting historically smaller due to manufacturing byproducts. My single girls have been telling me this for years.
That's it. I'm installing solar panels tonight.
Anyway, chemicals created in the production of plastics, they're screwing with humans' natural hormone process, affecting our reproductive organs. You get that? You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand. So plastic is making our junk small.
Yes! And she also cites peer-reviewed studies. That means this is a real story, which there's this scary trend of modern-day babies being born with noticeably shorter members. I mean, it's happening to rat fetuses as well, and it's all because we're being exposed to chemicals, and now it's being seen in humans. She calls this a crisis in the making. Women, it's a crisis for sure.
Let's be clear, people. Let's keep Earth clean. It's not Uranus.
Keep it clean. There's no plan B. Oh.
So let me get this straight. So the only thing that us men right now are passing down to our sons-to-be is a whole lot of debt and small penises.
Yes.
No. Clean. They're never going to get laid.
No. That's today's WTF story. Back with more coming up next.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
Nowadays in the dating world, you can just get up, left, and ghosted. But it sucks when you can't get the final word in. So we have three texts you should not send to the person who just ghosted you. I'll just want me to two dudes.
One studio.
The recap segment of the Dana Cortez Show. And earlier during our Sick of Single topic, we were breaking down how to handle and process being ghosted. All right. Now, for my Generation Xers out there or my baby boomers out there who may be a little unfamiliar with the term ghosted, it's when you're dating a person and then one day you just decide, I'm no longer going to exist to them.
And you just stop texting and you fall off the face of the planet.
That's it. You may even go as far as to block them on the internet or unfriend them on Facebook, whatever it may be. You no longer exist in their life, and that is ghosted. Now, this has happened to me a few times. And automatic, the worst thing about getting ghosted is you never get that final word into that person.
Oh.
You're just burning up. Your phone is just in your hand, and you're just like, what can I send to them that's going to drill this point home and let them know that they missed out on a good chance? So, what are some things that we shouldn't text to that person who's being a big meanie to us?
Oh. Here's three creepy things that you should never, ever, ever text.
I just never thought in my life I would look at a grown man and say the word meanie. But go ahead, automatic. What should we never text? Go ahead, brother.
Hey, I miss your smell.
Oh.
That's top of the line creepy right
there.
That's
a little weird. That's a little weird. It's cute when you're in love, but when you're the ex person, that's just odd.
And all they right. haven't answered you for a month and you tell them you miss your smell? That Mm-mm. is weird.
Mm-mm.
Ladies, another thing. Just to get his attention, never text him, hey, I might be pregnant.
Oh, whoa.
That might for sure never get you a response.
Please, dude. That is not good karma. Do not do that. That is an evil thing to do. You're playing with people's lives.
And the last one. Girl or guy? Hey, I'm in your front yard, outside your window. Open your blinds. Don't just show up at people's house.
No, that's how you go from being ghosted to being in jail.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
How do I tell my wife that my girlfriend's pregnant?
Oh!
Don't worry. We got three easy steps on how to do that right now. Let's welcome to Two Dudes.
One Studio.
The recap segment of the Dana Cortez Show, hosted by myself, Anthony, and my scum padres, or DJ Automatic. And today, we are recapping our Dear Dana segment, where a homeboy wrote in and had that exact problem right there.
How do you have three easy steps? Because I can't imagine that ever being easy to tell your wife, hey, my girlfriend's pregnant.
Well, it's easier to make a break, baby. All right, so don't overthink it, automatic.
Oh,
right,
okay,
don't,
there.
Don't overthink it, baby.
You just threw a whole other situation there with a break, baby.
Well, oh, my bad. It wasn't a break, baby. It's easy to make a baby. So just like how easy it is to conceive. Is that right? Are you okay, Daddy? Getting shocked?
The microphone just shocked me in the face.
That's your wife from outside the studio saying, don't say something stupid. No, but here's what you need to remember before you go tell your wife that your girlfriend is now pregnant. Step number one, buy her something nice. Nice little gift. Nice little present. Nice
you better clean your bank account out with that jewelry.
Oh, yeah, actually, as a matter of fact, you should start a I got my girlfriend pregnant savings fund right now. Number two, remind her how special she is. And at the end of the day, you may have slipped up and had a mistake, but you love her and she is your wife. Remind her that. What do you think, Automatic?
Keep going.
Keep going. All right. And the final thing you need to remember before telling your wife that your new girlfriend is now pregnant, take her somewhere out in public. Please.
I want you can't stab you.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Please. Keep it zipped up. Keep it tight. Don't cheat on your wife. We don't condone that anywhere here. But if you find your spot in a tough space, just remember, keep it public. Keep it simple. Keep it quick. You have a beautiful Wednesday. The Dana Cortez Show returns tomorrow.
I got better advice. Keep your thing in your pants. How about that?
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
Are the Migos, yes, the ones who gave us Bad and Bougie and Walk It Like I Talk It, one of the greatest groups in the history of hip-hop, DJ Automatic? Let's break that down right now. Let's welcome you to Dude.
One Studio.
The recap segment of the Dana Cortez Show. And today we're going to have a little bit of a bro down, but we're going to rehash what we went over in our gossip segment earlier. Now, earlier in the week, Miley Cyrus celebrated the 15th anniversary of her classic Disney Channel Hannah Montana TV show.
Yes.
Right. And it's a big thing. And for that, she sent the Migos a bouquet of flowers and said, hey, thank you for including me in your song. Now, that song she's talking about, of course, is off their YRN mixtape, Hannah Montana.
Hannah Montana. Hannah Montana. Hannah Montana. Hannah Montana. Hannah Montana.
Forever a slapper right there. But then that led to Takeoff jumping on Twitter and saying, you guys need to acknowledge the Migos as one of the greatest groups in hip-hop and definitely one of the most influential groups in hip-hop. And I, Anthony A., am agreeing with you, Sir Takeoff.
Okay.
Okay? I think you guys are. I think you guys laid out a blueprint for a flow. A lot of people said it was mumble rap. It really wasn't mumble rap if you're listening good enough to them. And they've definitely...
If you really clean your ears out and listen really well, it doesn't sound like mumbles.
That's right. It's not mumbles. Your ears are just dirty, okay?
Yeah, okay.
So they are number five on my list of top hip-hop groups. Okay. Automatic, do you have five? I want to make sure I'm not... Are you doing five or three?
I could do five.
Okay. Do five.
So number five is your Migos, okay?
Migos. And then number four, I'm going to go with Outkast.
Okay.
All right. Then I'm going to go with Slaughterhouse. All right. Now,
Slaughterhouse is in your top five.
Yeah, lyrically, they're one of the greatest groups of all time,
if
not the greatest.
You like Joe Budden way too much.
I don't like podcast Joe Budden. I like rapping Joe Budden. Podcast Joe Budden, I ain't got time for that.
He's annoying.
All right. And then I have Ray Shrimmered. Mm-hmm.
Ray Shrimmered's in your top five, huh?
Oh, you don't know love Ray Shrimmered?
I love Ray Shrimmered, but they're not in my top five.
Again, somebody who painted their own sound. You
Black Beatles really had that impact on you,
It
huh?
was good, dog. Oh, you're hating, bro. And then, oh, my God. All right. Then, God. This
What's your number one? Go ahead and disappoint me.
I meant to put Beastie Boys, but somehow, for some reason, I wrote down Gym Class Heroes.
What?
I was.
What's that guy's name? Travis?
Yeah, Travis McCoy. I was a big fan of him, dude. Help me get through a heartbreak. Okay.
That might be the worst top five I've ever heard. Literally the worst top five of all. I mean, it's subjective. It's all your top five. Let me give you guys a real hip hop top five, okay? Number five, we're going to go with De La Soul, one of the greatest hip hop groups of all time. Let free them. Let's put them on streaming. It's not fair anymore, Tommy Boy Records. Next one, the Wu-Tang Clan. I mean, that might be the greatest super group of all time. Legendary MCs. Next group, another group of legendary MCs, N.W.A. That's my number three. Number two, another Atlanta group, not the Migos, Outkast. That's the one that we did have in common.
Okay, I love Outkast.
Arguably the only real top five hip-hop group. And the number one hip-hop group of all time, you can argue with me, I don't care what you say, is Tribe Called Quest. Oh. Anybody who knows anything about hip-hop, who loves hip-hop, knows that Tribe Called Quest is the greatest hip-hop group of all time, period.
Damn. Even over Crisscross?
Even...
I'm just kidding, y'all. Yo, the Migos, I appreciate y'all. I love y'all. And just, if you're hearing this, I want to be the fourth member of the Migos.
Hey! The Dana Cortez Show podcast. Hey!